Hello everyone, welcome to All Things Relationship Podcast, a one-stop solution for all your relationship queries and questions. Here you will find everything from people's stories, experts on panel, and some great knowledge that can help you make love real and perfect. So, let's jump right in. Our today's guest, Mr. Partha Srinivasan, is a veteran marketeer and podcaster. He is also a business consultant and content creator and is founder of Sax in Tech, a digital marketing and sales enablement agency based out of Mumbai. So, let's welcome Mr. Partha and learn about his journey. Welcome to All Things Relationship Podcast, Partha. How are you doing?
I am good. It's been a very long day, but yeah, I'm happy.
And yeah, I happen to have realized that 1 a.m. shows are quite conducive to letting your emotions out, sharing your true feelings. So,
yeah, so I have long since realized the art of controlling and knowing what my emotions are. So it doesn't matter whatever part of the day, it doesn't matter whatever time, it doesn't matter whatever the situation. I have a fairly, call it experience, call it age, call it stupidity, call it whatever you want. It's just that the state that I am in, I am always aware of how I need to behave and how I need to conduct myself. It doesn't matter. So, I mean, even like if I have people have tried to get me drunk and then try to make me talk, my brain is always 100% active. So it doesn't matter what time it is. You wake me up in the middle of the night and you ask me to have a conversation, I'll most likely be able to have a conversation and you won't even know that I've just woken up, except for the fact that my throat is probably a little dry. That's about it.
Wow. Like, wow.
Yeah. Like I said, call it practice, call it experience, call it stupidity, call it what you want. It's just something that's happened now. Been doing it for the last five years now. Never failed me.
Wow. I want to know how. I want to know what what's the magic pill here?
There is no magic. So it's literally you reach a state of self-awareness where you know how certain things will affect you. You plan for it. Most people will see it coming, will not know how to react to it. I have probably reached a state where I know how it's going to affect me and I just know how to adjust myself. It still affects me. And I will show a little bit of emotion maybe every now and then. But for the most part, I'd say about 99%. I know how to control it. It will affect me later. Like later on, I will need to go and talk to somebody and I will have an outburst. But then even those outbursts are controlled. So it's not like I'm in a situation where I don't know what I'm saying or who I'm saying it to or what I'm saying. It's just awareness. So to reach that state of self-awareness, you need to have gone through a lot. And well, I have been through a fair amount of shit relationships wise over the last 5 years. Not just the 5 years. I mean, the 5 years before that were amazing. The last 5 years have just been very insightful in terms of who I am, who I need to be with, what I want from life, what I want from relationships, what I want from people. So when I say relationships, for me, relationships are across the board. I mean, it's not just having a girlfriend or being in a physical relationship with somebody is not the only aspect of a relationship. Like you and I, we have a relationship. We've had conversations before. So for me, that defines a relationship. So it doesn't necessarily have to be sexual or personal in nature. Relationships span across the board. So for me, the awareness of what a relationship means to me and how I get into it is pretty dominant.
Wow. Okay, that is something I really yearn to learn. I can say yes, I have been through some shit, and like I am really looking forward to a state where I can handle my emotions. These are the experiences I've had in past years, past 1 year, quite particularly. It still practically haunts me.
Dude, I get haunted all the time. You can't stop that.
How do you deal with it?
There are some things that I can't deal with. Like for now, even today, when my ex-wife, she's not my ex-wife yet. I mean, I still haven't got my divorce yet, but I've been separated for the last 3 years. And every time she reaches out to me or every time we have a conversation, it affects me emotionally, mentally, physically. It affects me because I put in 7 years or 8 years in that relationship before I decided I don't want it anymore. I don't think that anybody deserves that kind of abuse. I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I mean, I will never at any point say that, you know, the relationship broke down because of one person. That's never going to happen. But if one person is accepting and wants to build a conversation to kind of address something, and if the other person is not conducive to do that, that's one form of abuse. And at one point I just said, I'm done with this. And that's literally when the awareness hit me, right? I mean, I told you that that awareness of this thing is going to hurt everybody, not just me, is very important in any relationship. Not just work, not just personal life, even work. You need to see, you need to be able to have that awareness that something bad is going to happen, and you need to know how to address it when it happens, because some things are just inevitable. So either you prepare for it to never happen, or you are prepared to address it when it happens. So these are the only two alternatives you have. To be caught unawares and to be put into a situation where you feel like the world is coming to an end is not an option for me anymore.
Because maybe because you have been through a situation which you thought you could not survive, or you would not prefer to. Am I getting it right?
Pretty much. So it's a matter of control, right? It's a matter of awareness. So awareness leads to control, which leads to being able to sort a situation. So typically before I reach the stage of awareness, it's like it would happen and I'd be affected not just for a short period of time, but for extended periods of time. So like 2 to 3 months of my life would just disappear trying to adapt to a situation and then to do something about it. 2 to 3 months is a lot of times. Like 90 days, 3 months is 90 days. That's a lot of time to take to adapt to something emotionally, mentally, physically. It's difficult. Now, the moment you're able to see it happening, and if you prepare yourself, that 90 days for me now is 2 days, 3 days. All I have to do is sit in isolation, meditate, plan, know what's happening, address it, and I'm done. It still affects me. Let's not get that. I'm not going to say that I don't get affected by that. That would be stupidity on my end to say that it doesn't bother me. It does bother me. I mean, I'm human. I am in this form for a reason, but it does affect me. But I know how to tackle it now. I know how to address it. I know how to move on so that it doesn't affect the rest of my life. And I do have a rest of my life, which is also very important for you to have that visibility on.
Yeah, I can, I wouldn't have agreed to it, you know, a year ago, but right now, I cannot, you know, comprehend all that you would have gone through 5 years of total, 7 years of total commitment, right?
So 3 years ago, I left my marriage. So that is 2017. And I got married in 2010. 7 years.
7 years of total commitment is way, way too much. Like 7 years is the time they say that if you are friends with someone for 7 years, you are friends for life.
Wow, well, I knew her for a year before that.
Wow. I cannot, you know, comprehend how difficult that decision must have been.
It still affects for you. It still affects me. Every time I talk about it to anybody, every time I think about it, it still bothers me. Like, even agreeing to do this discussion with you, I had to think through it a few different times, thinking, how the hell will I take it? Like, what new rabbit hole will I discover and what will happen to me? It's fine. I'm prepared. I know if anything new does happen, I know how to deal with it, right? I mean, at the end of the day, that's essentially how I address things now. It's not easy. I'll be honest with you. It's not easy at all. But it's important to know how to get into that state. So, yeah.
I really need to learn that. And the only thing is, I am not at all interested in going through the pain and the learning process, as they call it, that if you want to turn into steel, the iron must burn first.
Yeah, but then it's not just fire, right? You need to, there's a process called tempering when you're working with metal.
Yeah.
You have fire, you use the hammer to shape it, and then you temper it, you cool it down so that it actually takes the shape and remembers that shape as well. And then you need to put it into the fire again so you can mold it properly, give it the shape it needs. And then once you sharpen that sword, you also have to make sure that the blade never gets dull. That is another form of tempering. So you need to know that there's not just one single step, which is the heat. But there's heat, there's cold, there's a chemical process. All of that is very important. And every step is important. And the order in which it happens is also important. You can't put a sword into ice, then hit it with the hammer, and then put it into the fire expecting it to take shape. It's never going to happen. It has to be in a particular order. So for you to reach a stage where you know that you need to have that awareness, you need to have experienced something, know what it feels like, come out of it, and then know how to address it. That's what's important. Heavy ho gaya.
Nahi, bahut relatable ho gaya. It actually feels funny many a times. Yeah, how could I be so blind that I, you know, ignored all the signs?
Because when you're too close to something, you typically tend to ignore it because you don't want it to be real. It's called denial.
Yeah.
Exactly. Easy to get along. I'm very flippant. I'm very casual. I still am. Very childish. I keep saying that every year I actually grow 1 year younger because I think this year when I turned 39, I actually turned 4. My son's, he's 9, Jesus, he's 9 years old, and I'm 4.
Wow.
But the point is that I'm aware of this now. Then, in hindsight, I wasn't, the best person to live along with, because I was just like very casual, like haan ho jayega ya, haan kar lenge ya, you know. I used to procrastinate. I still do, but I used to procrastinate and I used to kind of push things off, and it would frustrate her, and I used to kind of ignore that portion. Again, not like I used to not do anything at all at home, but most of the work at home was I used to do, like cleaning, cooking, taking care of the baby, stuff I used to do, like I used to go drop off the stuff, and all of those things used to happen. At one point, when I started working again, there was a lot of pressure on me from her. And I think that is the indication. Like, so for me, the moment a relationship switches from being about the person to what the person brings as a value, that relationship stops being important for me. Which is very, again, something that I've learned the hard way. And again, one of the biggest things is the moment money becomes a factor of how important a relationship is in your life, that relationship stops to exist for me. And that was the twist that happened between my wife and me, that all our conversations are around, we're not earning enough, we're not doing enough, we're not going to be able to survive, we're not going to be able to do this. But that was not the case. We always had enough to make sure that, you know, we got through the month and we have a little bit. We were not uncomfortable. It's not like we were floating around in the money, but we were not uncomfortable. Like, work would happen, life would happen. But that was something that kind of lost sight. And during the course of that, like I said, we grew more and more distant. And I started to tell her that, you know, this is affecting me. I don't think that I'll be able to continue. This is really hurting me. Why do we do this? And I would say that, you know, you need to stop ignoring me. You need to stop ignoring us. Because at the end of the day, this entire thing is because you and I got together. And you, it's not like you've given up anything. Yeah, fair enough. We're all in a new city. We're all starting from scratch. But you still have your family. I don't. I don't talk to anybody from my family. I don't have anything access. Imagine what's my mental situation. Did you ever stop to think about that? That was never a question. That was never a topic of conversation. So all of these things kind of ate at me. And then at one point I was like, I'm done. I don't think I can take this anymore. Then a situation escalated to a point where my emotions for her went from being positive to neutral to being absolutely negative. And the moment it hit that negative stage is when I said that I need to move out and take control of this, because otherwise I'll end up doing something that I will regret, and I don't want to do that. And I have a very bad temper. Right from the time I was in college, I used to have a very physically bad temper. Like, I would do something to people that would permanently affect them. I'm being polite here. I am being polite here. मतलब मेरे मेरे वजह से कॉलेज में काफी लोग हॉस्पिटल जा चुके हैं.
Proud of you.
No, it's not something to be proud of. नहीं यार, मैं चुपचाप बैठने वालों में से नहीं हूँ, बट फिर भी मैंने 10-11-12 साल मैंने ऐसे चुपचाप ही निकाल दिया. लाइक मेरे दोस्त लोग मुझे कहा करते थे, पार्था यू आर नॉट द पार्था दैट आई नो फ्रॉम कॉलेज और स्कूल. लाइक मेरे जो स्कूल के दोस्त हैं या कॉलेज के दोस्त बोलते हैं, नहीं तो ऐसा था ही नहीं. कोई अगर तुझको कुछ बोलता था तो तू उल्टा उनकी उनके कान के नीचे बजा के तू चला जाता, वो लोग भाग जाते हैं. तो नथिंग वुड अफेक्ट यू. बट व्हेन आई वाज विद हर, व्हेन आई वाज इन दैट रिलेशनशिप, आई वाज कंप्लीटली डोसाइल. आई वाज अ डोरमैट. पीपल यूज टू वॉक ऑल ओवर मी. They're like, this is not you. How are you doing this? Why are you doing this to yourself? And like, because it's a long-term thing, you know, mujhe chahiye ye, mujhe, I need this for myself. And then after all of this happened, and I'm like, I don't think that I can take this anymore. I left, again restarted my life again in Dubai. And then 2 years ago, I had to move back to India because I lost my father.
Hello.
And again restarted my life from scratch. Wow. Again. So all of these experiences have given me insight into how relationships affect, how social norm and institutions affect, how social pressure of doing something a certain way or you'll be judged. And, you know, basically, kehte na, tera bahishkar ho jata hai. It's like people will actually demean you to a level where you feel self-loath. Wo ho jata hai. I realize that all of this, I don't give a shit for that anymore. To koi agar aake mujhe bolega na, are yaar ye kya kar raha hai tu? I literally ask them now, am I doing it to you? Am I doing it to any of your family? I'm doing it to myself, right? Yeah. Leave me be. I'm okay. Mujhe kuch agar hua to main sambhal lunga khud ko. And that's literally the stance I've taken in my life.
Really, it's not a long story. It's about, wow, you, you realize that you were in bad shit and you took the step out. That's,
I had to, it was important. Otherwise, so even before I took the step, I realized that I was in that state and I needed to either take care of it through talking with the person or removing myself from the situation. The moment the situation got negative, I knew I had to take myself out of it. I had learned to control my anger a long time ago, like 15 years ago. Like I got out of college and I realized my anger is not going to help me. So I had to make sure that I put a control on that. So that was the first thing that I learned. I still have the anger, but then I know how to control it now. Okay? Because it's a very base emotion. It happens. There's no way for you to actually completely clamp it down. But how you react is important. So as of 5 years ago, I stopped reacting also. Now everything is a response. There's a difference between a reaction and a response. If something happens, you don't have to say something at that point. If something happens that you don't like, stop, take it in, think, respond. Now you've thought through the entire process, you know how you're going to address it. I stopped being reactionary, which means, koi agar mujhe aake gaali to main unko do gaali dunga, nahi. Kyun gaali diya? Kya hua? Kis wajah se ho raha hai? Unki bhi, I need to understand what's on their side as well. So this is generally the approach I have towards life, which is one of the ways I've been able to control my anger, which is there's always a second reason to why it's happening. You can't always be right. You can't always be wrong either, but you can't always be right. So figure out what's happening. Be reasonable. Things will fix. It's something that I do at work. It's something that I do at in my personal life as well. So that is one of the things that I did. So... I stopped reacting. That is very important. So I was taking that abuse before the marriage and that was killing me. But the problem was that after I exited the marriage, I went deeper into depression. And by this time, I had not learned how to tackle issues emotionally by myself. I wasn't prepared. So I went into this depressive state. Like I was suicidal, man. I've come out of that, obviously. But I was suicidal. Like I didn't want to live. And I was staying in an apartment on the 27th floor. It was very easy for me to just look over, jump off, and that would be that. Every day I would wake up thinking, aaj main jaunga wahan pe, kudne wala hun. Phir bete ka phone aata hai, Baba, you're coming now? Yes, beta, main aa raha hun. Gaadi mein baitho, usko jaake pick up karke school mein drop karo. That was literally the start of my day. At 4 o'clock in the morning, I'd wake up thinking, nahi jana, kuch nahi karna, kisi ke liye nahi jeena hai, bas khatam karna hai. Phir bete ka phone aata tha 5 baje. Baba, you're coming na? We have to go to school. Yes, bacha, I'm coming. I'm going to come and pick you up and take you to school. And that was literally how my day went. So it was a very difficult time for me even then. Then afterwards, slowly, reading, realizing that I have the ability and the power in me, a lot of different things happened. And I slowly realized that, you know, I have the ability to do this. I believe in a lot of different things. I'm spiritual. I'm not religious. Mm-hmm. I don't follow a particular religion. I'm very spiritual, though. I believe in a God. I don't believe in the social norms that people follow and associate. So religion and politics, I completely avoid as topics of interest for anything. I don't talk about that at all. I avoid it. If anybody starts talking about it, I just move away from the room because those are trigger points for me. Because those are literally a matter of convenience for anybody, not just me. If anybody looks at a religion, it's a convenience of this means something to me, but I will take it out of context and that's what it means for me. The context is never uniform across. If you take the same topic and ask 5 different people, you'll get sure. 5 different opinions. And that's my problem. So I stay away from stuff like that. And because of the way I approach things now, I look at it from a far different perspective. I've had a lot of introspection. I've had a lot of sessions with people who helped me identify and figure out ways to tackle with my myself,
okay,
so to speak. So remember I told you that now, before things would take maybe 2 months or 3 months, and now they take only 3 to 4 days. It's because of these experiences where I'm able to kind of address it myself. I'm able to go inwards, meditate on it, and actually address it and fix the situation quickly so that it doesn't affect me in the long term. So that is what I have been able to do. And that's literally the process that I've done over the last 2-3 years.
Yeah, what I have gone through is just like 1% of what you have. And I still like, I'm not sure if I'll be able to talk with this composure even now.
Dude, after I've come back from Dubai, I've come back to India. I am currently in a relationship. But it's rarely easy, man. It's not easy. Like, I've been through 2-3 other girlfriends before I found this current relationship. And each one of those has taught me something new about myself and about how I need to be. So one of the things is that I am one of those people who's an all or nothing kind of person. Which means that if I find somebody who gives me even 1 inch, so you give me 1% of what you're capable of, I will give you 100% of what I am. It's just the way I approach. So it's like, so I'll wait for you to give me the remaining 99. That's not a problem. Okay. But here's 100%. This is 100% of me, 100% of the time. And I've had 3 other relationships before I've been in the current one. I'd say only the current one has been able to accept the fact that I am 100% in, and I've gotten back whatever I've gotten from her. And I'm extremely grateful that she appreciates that I am like that. The others haven't been as gracious. They're like overwhelmed, scared, or assuming that there is some other motive behind the way I behave. And most people are like that, by the way. They're very presumptive. They're very judgmental in the sense that, oh, you know what, he's like this. Either he can't be trusted because I don't know what's his ulterior motive, or, you know, he's like this now. It will fade after a certain amount of time, you know, as most people would in relationships. But I'm not like that. I mean, at least I feel I'm not like that. And I haven't been like that with my current girlfriend. So
I do not know how, like, how is this possible that I'm able to relate so much with the, you know, the way you are, as in the parts that 100% in, yes, I can relate. So, yeah.
That's called eternal optimism, my friend. That's fine. It's good. It's good to be an eternal optimist. There's no downsides to being an eternal optimist. But you also need to know that, and this is something that will happen with experiences, that you see patterns in your own behavior and how people respond to it. So there are two ways for you to address that. One is either you change who you are, or you find somebody who accepts you for who you are. I have reached a stage where I'm not going to change myself anymore. I already tried that and it failed. I fell flat on my face.
So guess what?
I'm not going to change who I am. And if somebody wants to accept me, that's fine. If it's not you, there is somebody else out there. That's okay.
Wow.
I'll wait.
that's patience I really need.
Yeah. We're so intent on being in a relationship that we forget why we're in the relationship.
Yeah, maybe the social stigma around it.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a lot of pressure that you put on yourself. There's a lot of pressure that, so at one point, your family are going to put on you saying that, why aren't you with somebody? Why aren't you taking your life forward? Why aren't you doing this?
True.
It's not for them. It's for you. You need to do this for yourself with that person that feels right for you. And here's the biggest thing is, yes, follow your heart. But don't ignore your brain, and definitely do not ignore what you call your gut. Your gut and your heart are not the same. So when your stomach, when your gut, you know, the core of your body says something wrong with this, be careful. Be careful. Look a little more carefully, a little more deeply. Try and identify why that happened. Don't read into it and to a point where you feel that you will sabotage everything that's coming your way, because that's at the other end of the spectrum. But when your gut tells you something's wrong, try to figure out why that thought or why that feeling is coming in, because 7 times out of 10, it's going to be right.
Wow. How do I listen to my gut? Like, how do I know it's my gut speaking and not my fears of past experiences, especially?
So there is an entire process to that, which is you have something called demons, right? Your fears are your demons. Your demons will almost always be negative and cautioning you to the point. So here's the difference between a demon and a gut feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You're walking down the road and forget about walking down the road. You meet somebody in a pub, in a discotheque, right? You meet this really cute girl, you're having a conversation. You've felt or seen nothing that is out of the ordinary or something that is different. All of a sudden, you get a thought that, nay, this girl is not too good for you. Nah, she's probably going around doing something. Those are your demons. Okay. But your gut will say,
yeah,
buddy, she just said something. Listen to what she said again. Do you think that sounds right? Think about it. It's going to caution you, positively reinforcing it, saying, think about it. And there's something wrong here. It's not a fear. That's more of a, it's like an angel is coming and whispering in your ear. No, wait. It's not demeaning to you. It's just making you aware of a situation. A demon will say, you're incapable. She's out of your league. The conversation went bad. She's thinking negative. This is not going well.
Mm-hmm.
These are all demons. So the difference can be a very, there's a very fine line between the two. But your gut will caution you and help you identify that there might be an issue. For example, when you're driving, your immediate reaction is your gut. It's not a fear. But after an accident happens, anything that happens out of that is a fear. So your instinct is what? Gut. Whereas a thought, something that is negative, is your fear, is your demon.
Okay.
Your gut could also be telling you, dude, she's amazing, go with her. But then your fears are saying, nah, she's out of your league. Nah, she doesn't trust you. Nah, you're going to have to spend too much money. Those are your fears.
Okay, so you cannot trust her, or she's just there for money. And all those, they are fear. But when you receive someone, okay, you probably won't be liking that. Be careful. Do you really like that, what you are saying or what she's saying? That's probably your gut.
Correct. So what is your instinct? What's your instinct saying? Now, again, here's another thing. If a woman comes up to you and says, oh, Shona, you're so cute. Oh, by the way, can you give me 10,000 rupees? Your gut will immediately crop up and say, bhai, ye to gold digger hai. So there are no fears or demons there.
Mm-hmm.
That is straight out gut. Follow it. Aankh band karke.
Totally get it.
And that's happened to me, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's happened. 25,000 rupees was the requested amount. I'm like, yeah, okay. Milte rehna. Bye.
Wow. Must be fun.
Insanely, because she tried calling me 2 times after that. And I was like, please, don't bother.
That was nice.
Yeah. I'm generally a very patiently polite person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do look forward to being, you know, that listening to my gut. I have a big belly, so I'll get a lot of.
You need to listen more. And the more you listen, the more you'll understand the difference between a fear and your gut. Because as of today, early stages, you will inevitably get confused between one and the other. It's very easy to do that. The easiest way to identify is it an instinct or is it a thought?
Okay.
If it's an instinct, it's gut. If it's
thought would come
to
what if.
Not just what if. The thought would be how, why, who, when. These are all thoughts. These are all demons. Kab karega? Tere paas time hai kya? Karne ke liye paise hai kya? Kahan ja sakta hai? Gaadi kahan se milegi? Log kya kahenge? These are all fears.
Okay.
This is not your body or your brain or your soul's instinctive behavior of, yeah, there's something off about this person. Mm-hmm. Oh man, this person just, you know, you vibe so well with somebody, your gut will say, don't let go of this person. Yeah. So these are different ways of listening to yourself.
I'll try my best to, you know, keep an ear over there because I really need one right now.
That you decide what you want to do with it. But at the end of the day, what Vipassana taught me is that it all starts with you. And it doesn't start from what you see of yourself, but is what you see in yourself. And how do you see it?
Wow. That's way too profound.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so that's, you know, when you mentioned that, yeah, gut feeling will be like this, I'm like, yeah, okay, I've got a lot of, you know, notifications saying ping, 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 and I kept it on do not disturb.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They are called heart pings, by the way.
Okay, so it's a real thing. I really am up to you. Get to listen to these pings, so I would make a lot of better decisions.
Those pings are not for you to make better decisions. Those pings are so you are aware of what information you need to make better decisions. Those pings are never information. Okay. They are just, think of them as an alarm, right? You listen to an alarm, so you wake up and then you gather the data you need to go about doing what you need to do because you woke up. The alarm is not the information.
Okay.
The alarm is just to draw your attention to that. You need this information to make that decision. Don't confuse it.
Okay.
Am I making sense?
Partly, yes, it's a bit, you know, I'll get grabbed when I listen it to 3-4 times.
Fair enough.
Thanks a lot for this session, and I'll be sure to keep you posted.
Cool. It's one of the first things that Vipassana also teaches you is like, accept, acknowledge, move on. Accept, acknowledge, move on. So you're not giving a punch for a punch. Again, Vipassana doesn't say be completely non-violent. If somebody's punching you and you need to defend yourself, please defend yourself. So I've realized this a long time ago is that there'll always be some judgment. There'll always be other people will always have expectations, or they will always have a fear that what is this person's ulterior motive. So you can't avoid that. What you can avoid is how you react to it. What you can work on is how that information affects you and what you do with that information. Because at the end of the day,
yeah,
you own that. It's as simple as that.
Perfect. You know, there's a lot I'll be learning from this one.
Well, I'm happy I could share my story, and if it helps people, I'm happy to have helped them as well. You can always reach out to me. You have my email, you have all of my details. Just feel free to reach out to me.
Sure thing. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Good night.